Ron Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. A building that partially collapsed in Iowa will be demolished, but the remains of victims could still be inside. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
Search crews are back on site at a partially collapsed building in Davenport, Iowa. After stunning news, there may still be people inside.
At this time, we have five individuals that are still unaccounted for. Two of those we believe to be possibly still in the building.
Engineers warn the debris pile is actually holding up the remaining structure, and a full collapse is a question of when, not if.
The boardwalk in Hollywood Beach, Florida, was the scene of a mass shooting last night. Nine people were shot. Correspondent Christian Benavides.
Police in Hollywood Beach, Florida, have released surveillance video as they search for suspects involved in Monday's mass shooting. One person of interest is seen in a yellow hoodie. Another has on a gray sweatshirt. Two suspects are already in custody.
And they were arrested on weapons charges. At this point, we do need the community's help. We are looking for three individuals we believe may be related to the shooting.
A Virginia man has been charged with murder in the case of a councilwoman in Sayreville, New Jersey, who was shot to death. Police say they knew each other through a church. There are indications tomorrow's vote in the House to raise the debt ceiling will be successful. North Carolina Republican Congressman Patrick McHenry says more than half of House Republicans will support it. But there are those in the no column, including Georgia's Andrew Clyde.
The Biden-McCarthy deal has been dubbed the Fiscal Responsibility Act. But in truth, there's nothing responsible about it. Make no mistake, this is the Fiscal Irresponsibility Act.
Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes has reported to a Texas prison to begin serving an 11-year sentence.
Holmes turned herself into the minimum security women's federal prison in Bryan, Texas. It's about 100 miles north of Houston. It comes about a year after she was convicted of four felony counts of fraud and conspiracy. Her claims that Theranos technology could scan for various diseases from just a finger prick of blood were proven false.
Every time you create something new, there should be questions. And to me, that's a sign that you've actually done something that is transformative.
Holmes has also been ordered to pay back investors $450 million. Chris Fox, 4 CBS News, Austin.
Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has dementia. The confirmation from the Carter Center, which says she continues to live happily at home with her husband. The markets closed mixed. The Dow lost 50 points. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Authorities still aren't saying why a train jumped the tracks in Devil's Lake State Park near Baraboo Sunday. Nobody was hurt, and nothing in the derailed cars was a threat to public safety. Last we knew, authorities were still trying to track down who owns the derailed cars. Lawmakers this week will debate whether Wisconsin taxpayers should chip in $2 million toward the cost of Green Bay hosting the NFL draft in 2 years. Packers president Mark Murphy says he hasn't heard much opposition to the request.
No, I mean, it's economic development. It's going to help. It's going to benefit the state. You know, it's good for everybody.
Murphy was on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee Sunday. 250,000 visitors are expected. The total statewide economic impact could be $94 million. In sports, the Brewers host Toronto tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
How are you keeping your kids occupied this summer? River West Outdoor Educational Adventures offers activities featuring bike rides, canoeing, rock climbing, hiking, and more for kids in the greater Milwaukee area. They also offer these activities for adults, families, and groups.
This sounds awesome. How can we sign up?
To sign up or request more info, call River West Outdoor Educational Adventures at 414-263-4877. 414-263-4877.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight. except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Pros assemble and deliver for free, only from Warner Stellion.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives out there in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dana. At this portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, super stoked about our time change. We'll be more of a drive time situation here. And I know we'll be able to make a lot of things that are going around and all over Turtle Island. And so we're excited about the time change.
Yeah, for sure. Moving to 5 p.m. Starting June 5th. That'll be next Monday. And then going on from there.
Yeah, definitely. And It's just a natural progression. We get to follow up Matt McNeil, and Matt does a great job, and we'll be promoing what's on each show. And like tonight, we have a little excerpt from Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. We'll be checking her out. And also we have Brooke LaFlo, who's just one of those young people that are doing it up here in the all over Turtle Island. And I just want to talk about her and her organization, and all the great work she's doing. And then we'll be ending the show with Wendy, with our animal sacred animal section. And she's shooting it in here from New York, Long Island, or Long Beach, I should say, where we have our little, our niece had a little baby. So she's out there with family, and it's exciting. Haley, we had a long weekend. What did you do this weekend?
Yeah, we did. Well, it was Memorial weekend. So what did I do? It seems it was so jam-packed busy. It's hard to remember. Friday.
You were out. I saw great pictures of you out on it looked like a board out on a lake. It looked very serene, and I was a little jelly about that until you started showing me pictures of animals that were frozen in time. No, I don't know what
I know.
They were.
No, really, because, yeah, so I have a paddle board. It's actually an inflatable one, which actually really handy, but
right.
Yes. I still actually inflated it and thought it would be easier to drive with it on top of my car, even though the lake I go to is just seriously 2 minutes up the road from me. But, you know, that was my first time trying to strap something to the roof of a car. Thought I had it going well. And then halfway to the lake, the whole thing just flies off. And what actually happened, it wasn't my fault. It was actually the bungee cord snapped. So I'm going to blame it on that.
Right on. Use those straps that you ratchet up. I have a whole bunch of them in my garage I can give you. I was in Black River Falls for our powwow or memorial powwow, which was awesome. And then I came back and I did the AA convention here in Minnesota. There was 10,000 alcoholics hanging out and smoking. A lot of them smoking cigarettes like I used to. And then I went to Prairie Islands powwow. And then yesterday took a day off. But hey, you know, we have, why don't we quit our kibitz in here and then let's get to the Lieutenant Governor with an update. Hey, Lieutenant Governor.
This is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. We are very close to the last day of the legislative session, which means lots of bills are being voted on, passed, and heading to the governor's desk to be signed into law. Next time I check in, I'll be able to talk about all of the good things that got done this legislative session. But legislators have been hard at work to get the many important budgets and bills across the finish line already. That includes a $1 billion, that's billion with a B, housing omnibus bill, the largest single investment in housing in state history. Not all Minnesotans have the same options when it comes to housing, and this bill is one big step towards filling in those gaps. We can provide additional affordable housing options and make home ownership achievable for more Minnesotans. This bill will help construct new housing with a focus on units in greater Minnesota, reducing home ownership disparities, and expanding access to rental assistance. We know that housing security is the foundation of educational and professional growth, health, safety, and allowing kids and families to thrive in our state, and I will look forward to seeing the impact this legislation will have on Minnesota. The governor also signed a comprehensive veterans and military affairs bill that will move the state closer to its goal of becoming the fourth state in the nation to end veteran homelessness, expand service bonuses for veterans and fund veterans' homes, and invest in the readiness of the Minnesota National Guard. There's no question that Minnesotans remain united in their support for those who've raised their hand to serve, for our warriors. And I'm proud of the leaders at the Capitol for coming together in tangible support of our active service members and our veterans. We are delivering real, meaningful support to protect the health and safety of our soldiers and ensure that our veterans have a safe and stable place to call home. A strong democracy is one where everyone has the opportunity to make their voice heard and voice count. That's why the governor signed a law protecting the freedom to vote and increasing voting accessibility. I'm proud to be breaking down barriers to voting and campaign transparency with this bill. Our democratic process should be welcoming and accessible for everybody, and I look forward to seeing even more Minnesotans at the ballot box this year. We also were joined by legislators and friends and family of Prince at Paisley Park. The governor and I were proud to celebrate the designation of Trunk Highway 5 as the Prince Rogers Nelson Memorial Highway in honor of our Minnesota icon. Prince means a lot to Minnesota, and he means a lot to me. His music is what I put on when I'm cleaning the house or having a bad day or a really good day. It's music for every type of day. And it's so fitting to honor his legacy in this one small way. I hope that when people drive down Prince Rogers Nelson Memorial Highway, they feel inspired to put on Controversy or the song of your choice and just listen. And finally, in more fun news, I was excited to be in Mankato last weekend for the governor's fishing opener. Even though we had some rain and thunderstorms and I didn't catch a fish this time, I know, it's always a joy to spend time and one of the most beautiful lakes in Minnesota and to really promote the best of who we are in our state. I'll be back soon to discuss the end of the legislative session with all of our Native Roots Radio's listeners. It's going to be some good stuff. But until then, Chimiguech, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Hey, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. Hey, today Haley was the signing of the marijuana bill here, and a lot of people are excited about that, and a lot of jobs, a lot of Minnesota is breaking through on that, and the governor signed the bill, so it's a real deal, and I think it comes up in 2025 once it all gets shook out. But they didn't really just do this hodgepodge. They had we were talking to a bunch of people over the time, and the bill was like a couple hundred pages long. It wasn't just like one bill. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of stipulations, a lot of, I noticed one of the things too, advertising. If your show is more of a kid show, you can't advertise, but if it's an adult one, and I'm hoping we're an adult one so we can maybe advertise people's dispensaries and what's going on.
Right. Well, and I think, what did they say? I was reading something earlier, too, when they posted Governor Walz's picture signing. And I believe it was like you could have, don't quote me on this, but it was like up to 2 pounds in your possession, in your home, and like up to an ounce or something in public.
Yeah, something like that. But it's pretty liberal. And it's also, I think one of the things they're going to keep an eye on is, you know, regulating it in a way where not just everyone can sell it. You can grow it and all those things. You know, we'll see what happens. But it's a good day to be a Minnesotan, as we all know. Hey, up next, Brooke LaFleau, and we're going to talk about a lot of things that she's doing in the community, and we're really excited to have this young warrior on. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're waiting for Brooke to come on, and you know, some of the highlights in the news, I want to just touch base on this because we've talked about PolyMet for a long time here, and they are moving forward, clearing out White Lakes taconite plant for copper nickel project. And I'm the Star Tribune here in the Minneapolis paper is reporting that they'll spend $18 million to employ 120 workers on this project. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on here. This is a company that supposedly is a Minnesota company, but it's owned by a Switzerland. They're a 50-50 by a Swiss mining giant, Glencore, and they're a 50-50, it's supposedly a St. Paul, Minnesota-based company now. And, you know, they do a lot of bad things to the environment. And we really are wondering what the heck's going on here. PolyMet and a Canada-based tech have each sunk in $85 million into a joint venture. To the cleanup project is a partnership of their first investment. So they're going to clean up this White Lakes plant. first. Maybe they're showing us that they can clean up after themselves or before themselves. But it's still a thing that we really want to protect our way of life here in Minnesota. And having this salvage plant run again up, their permits are still on. Their three key mining permits are still on hold here, tied up in court in battles with environmental groups, which is really good. But they still are relentless with our sacred land and our sacred things here. And this is not really good news that PolyMed is still coming in and raising heck with us. You know, one of the things too, we talked a little bit about Walls, who signed the historic bill legalizing marijuana. The former governor Jesse Ventura was with him in the signing. And what's interesting, I don't know if you know this, Haley, but what's really interesting about the former lieutenant governor and the wrestler turned governor, he was mayor of a town here in Minnesota too at first, and so he had some political background, and I really like impersonating him too. But I see the lieutenant or the former governor, and I don't know if he wants me to even say this, but I see him at a lot of Native things. He supports the Native community. Yeah. And wow. it's pretty crazy. And he doesn't want to do a selfie. He wants to be low key about it. And so I really respect that. But I just outed him in a good way that he supports a lot of the Native American things that are happening. And that was kind of interesting. Well, his wife used marijuana to really help with her seizures. And so he was backing it up tremendously, and he was there for the signing today for the marijuana. But hey, look at here, we have Brooke LaFlo. How you doing, Brooke? Thanks for being on Native Roots Radio.
Good, how are you? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound good.
Awesome. Sorry, I'm a little late. I've got my hand all jacked up, so it takes me a little longer to do this.
Oh, no. Hey, I wanted to have you on. First of all, you have an event coming up. And second of all, I just want our listeners to know who you are. And I know who you are, and I watch what you do. And you're one of the young ones that are doing it, and that we old ones are going to feel good about leaving the leadership to people like you, Brooke, and I'm really happy to have you on. And why don't we talk about your event, and then we'll get deep in who is Brooke?
Okay. Miigwech, Mr. Pilot. I appreciate your kind words there. So my name is Brooke LaFlo, Wagaga Mijing, Zibi Mene Dokwe, and Dijnakaz. My family comes from the Turtle Mountain Band in North Dakota. And I was born and raised here in St. Paul, grew up here. I wanted to share a little bit about our event. I run a social enterprise called Nenejanis 101s. It's for a social enterprise for Indigenous children. It's expanded over the few years from just early childhood education to sports to art and all kinds of things. But we're having our first art market, our very first in-person art market on June 17th from 1 to 4 p.m. And it's going to be at Flava Cafe in St. Paul. That's off of University there. It's the second Black-owned, woman Black-owned cafe in St. Paul. It's my best friend's cafe. So we're kind of tag teaming to do this event for Native artists, but it's also Juneteenth around that time. So it's just a good time to stand in solidarity with my best friend at her business. And so we're really excited to do this together and just uplift folks in our community in St. Paul. So,
well, that's what you do too. I see you're coaching. I see you, you know, and it's funny, people say they see me a lot, you know, in the community. I see you a lot in the community too. And it's great to be in the community and support things. I know I go to powwows to support the powwow, whether it's a smaller one at a school or whether it's a big one. And I know you do that too.
I do my best. Yeah, this year's been a real crazy year for me with like back-to-back bone fractures. But I'm trying to get, yeah, trying to get back out there. You know, I think that being a good relative means, you know, showing up for people's events and just showing that support, whether it's, you know, our schools and our kids, or if it's our nonprofits and all the other good work going on in the community. So I try to do those things as much as I can, and just hope that, you know, when it's our time, that, you know, people show up for me and for the people that I support as well.
Well, and you do support a lot of people. You support a lot of artists, and I really like to talk on Native Roots Radio about that fact, about supporting Native artists and how, what to look for, because we have a lot of people that listen that aren't Native, and we have a lot of support across Turtle Island, and they want to know. And so, Brooke, what's a thing that you would ask a vendor that's selling what seems to be Native art?
I usually ask, you know, like resourcefully where it's coming from. You know, if it's coming from, if they're the artists themselves, that's really cool. Then you get to actually talk to that artist about some of their work. Other times, you know, there's people selling other people's work, and it's their friends or someone from their community that maybe doesn't have a big business in Vens. So that's one of the things I do with Nini Janis and my friends, is not all of us have websites. So we all kind of group share the website or whatever. It's like sharing network Netflix passwords, right? Like we share one website. So yeah, I like to, you know, definitely make sure I know where that Native artwork is coming from, so that I can know it's authentic, coming from actual Native people themselves. You know, there's a lot of disappropriation going on versus cultural appreciation, so it's always just good to know where you're getting those items, so that, you know, you're supporting actual Native people and the artists themselves. As much as you can go directly to the source and to the artist, that's what I like to do, because then, you know, the middleman, and in this case, I'm kind of a middleman too. I mark up everything 25%, but that's also our fundraising model. So all the artists are generally like, I pay them what they ask, and they know I'm going to mark it up. And that's kind of our collective gift to our children, right, is the things that we fundraise for and the tournaments we go to and our children's giveaways. And so we're all kind of on the same page about that, about what we let our profits go to. Right.
Yeah, that's excellent, too. And I always say, because, you know, we have the store, and we're at the Twin Stadium in center field, Native Roots Arts. And if I could tell everyone that comes up to our booth, and especially when we're at the State Fair, Minnesota State Fair, which is like the second largest fair in the country, I can tell you exactly who either designed this or made this and their name. And don't feel bad about asking that, because if people give you attitude, then that's a red flag.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good point. You know, there's artists out there now, you can just identify their work almost immediately. I know that with a lot of your artists, actually, and a lot of the work that you sell. So I appreciate that. And I thank you for uplifting all of our local artists as well, too. You know, I do believe that honoring the land you're on, you know, it's always better to support artists who come from this area. A lot of those resources also come from the land, right? You know, Navajos had a lot of silver down south, and we didn't. So they were silver smiths. And up here, you know, we've had a lot of animals, and we work with hides and furs. And so buying from the people of that land will actually tell you like deep secrets of the land as well too, right? And like those resources of the land. So
exactly. That's a really, really good point. And I also want to add to that, Brooke, that we can't pigeonhole our Native artists either, because they can make art in their Native people. They don't have to throw a teepee in there or an eagle in there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, art is one of those things. Same with culture, is one of those things that's ever evolving. And, you know, I don't just bead florals or traditional things. I also bead Nike, like little Nike shoes now, just whatever. So
exactly. Know that.
Mm-hmm. Our art is constantly evolving, and it doesn't need to be like pan-Indianism or whatever society wants to think of us to be as artists. I think, you know, in many ways, all Native people are artists in whichever way they are. My dad is a construction worker. He's an artist. My brother, for himself, he's an artist, you know. So
no, exactly. Exactly. Really good point. Hey, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get deep into who is Brooke LaFleau. I can't wait. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Stay with us.
Whether you're headed down Les Paul Parkway
or fighting traffic on the interstates,
this is the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. With a House vote tomorrow on a bill to raise the debt limit, not everyone is in favor, including Colorado's Lauren Boebert.
If every Republican voted the way that they campaigned, they would vote against tomorrow's bad deal, because this is the very thing that we all campaigned to put an end to.
Some family members of a handful of people missing after a partial building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, Sunday are angry about the planned demolition of the structure. Mike Collier's cousin, Brandon Colvin, is missing.
I believe we need to just come together to strive to stop them from tearing down this building until we find our loved ones.
Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes has reported to prison. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
Holmes, along with former Theranos executive Sonny Balwani, has also been ordered to pay more than $450 million back to investors.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's DNR is warning that over the next 2 months, we could see the worst spongy moth caterpillar outbreak in a decade. The invasive insect, formerly called the gypsy moth, primarily feeds on oak, birch, crabapple, aspen, and willow trees, but the moths will attack other trees and shrub species as well. Free courses of Pfizer's Paxlovid treatment for COVID-19 will still be offered for at least another few months, even after the Food and Drug Administration granted Pfizer full approval last week to market the medication. The U.S. government has stockpiled millions of doses of Paxlovid. Over 14,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported each week last month, although most cases in the U.S. are no longer reported to health authorities. I'm Jane Matt-Mayer. This is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Let Mike Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
What a great sponsor they've been for all these years and the great work they did. And I just want to give a quick shout out for my birthday. I did a fundraiser for the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. And thank you, everyone that that gifted money for this great organization. And they do work all over Turtle Island. And it's just it warms my heart every year that I have them as my fundraiser. Hey, I'm here with Brooke LaFleau. And Brooke, I have some questions to ask you about who you are, and I can't wait to get into this. Now, I know your brother went to Harding, and you didn't.
Yeah, both brothers went to Harding, so I'm the middle child. I don't know if you've met Alex. I think you were maybe at Harding when he started. So they both kind of went to Harding, and then Dakota was at Harding for mm-hmm. the American Indian Studies program. Both took a lot of Ojibwe over there. And my path, unfortunately, I didn't want to be so much at Harding as I wanted to play basketball. And I already had coaches, my AAU coaches at Highland. So I started at varsity my freshman year by going to Highland. And then later transferred to Johnson because of the busing rule in St. Paul. But then I, same exact reason, I also knew the coach at Johnson. So basketball was a very serious part of my, our sports in general, this was a very serious part of my high school and college life. So,
yeah, well, that's exciting. That's what I want to get into. I know you're coaching basketball right now, but I want to talk a little bit about your basketball journey, and I want to know a little more because I only personally know little bits and pieces, and I want you to tell me you went to college and played a Division I basketball.
Yeah, that was where I ended up. I'll go back a little ways there. So right out of high school, I went to McAllister College. Choosing that school, I was being recruited for volleyball. It was my mother's alma mater. So that was a big deciding factor. And then I was staying close to home for my little brother. I knew I was going to play volleyball there. So I did. And then I ended up walking onto their basketball team, their D3, NCAA D3 at McAllister. And then in a whimsical transfer down to Tulane, I ended up walking onto their Division I basketball team. No more volleyball at Tulane, but stuck with basketball. And I did 2 years there to finish out my NCAA eligibility. You get 4 years. My junior year, Tulane was a phenomenal women's basketball program at the time I was there. They still are. But junior year, we were just shy of the NCAA tournament, and we went to the Women's National Invitational. The WNIT is kind of the second next best thing to the NCAA tournament. And then my senior year, we actually did go to the NCAA tournament. We went to the big dance and lost in the first round. That was my journey.
That's exciting. And I know me being a musician and an athlete as a young person, I got a lot of my coaching and teaching from people I learned from the best. I feel like it's so... Who and what did you get your coaching ways, or is it a combination of coaches you've had over the years, or who do you aspire to, you know, who have you stolen your coaching stuff from?
I would say a lot of coaches had different influences on me in many different ways. In high school, my high school coaches, they were both coaches of color, like solid community members, like really took care of kids and looked out for kids beyond the sport. You know, they fed us, they made sure we were doing well in school. There was study hours for the teams. So my high school coaches did a really good job showing me that basketball is a family, you know, that there's a higher expectation than how you perform on the floor, that you perform in school, that you're, you know, doing right by your family and trying to live a good life at home and staying out of trouble. So those aspects of coaching came from my high school coaches. And then in college, you know, my first college coach, I would say, was a little bit harder on me in my size, and she really fueled the fire in me. So I kind of learned at that point, you know, like, how do we fuel kids' fires to make them get better? and I didn't really play much at that level. I should have, in my opinion, because I walked onto a D3 or a D1, you know, a year after. But I really think it's because that coach was hard on my skills that I was pushing myself to prove her wrong in many ways. So there's that aspect of coaching. And then when I got to Tulane at my highest level of basketball, the whole game's changed, like the intellectual part of the game, the IQ of the basketball game changed from the Division III level to the Division I. And Lisa Stockton, you know, she's one of the top eight winningest women's basketball coaches in America to this day. We got her 400th win in less than 20 years at Tulane. So she really knew the game really well. And she broke it down by drills. She broke it down by plays. And a lot of the things at that time when I was going through it didn't always click. It didn't click until years later. I was still applying all those things she was trying to teach us about the game and about teamwork. So I would say a lot of my plays and a lot of my like basketball coaching and training came from Lisa Stockton's basketball brain. And I tried to emulate, you know, the highest level of IQ of basketball that I can with the young people, while also maintaining that level of community and care and family.
That's awesome. And I like a women's basketball and always have. And I think they need a big TV contract because people should really fall in love with that game. And especially, you know, when it gets down to the Sweet 16, I mean, they're balling it. And this past year was a really interesting, that championship game did with Iowa really coming out of nowhere and making the final game there and then falling short.
Yeah, it's so... women's sports is getting a lot more love than it used to, but that championship game was, I think, one of the most watched NCAA games in history, and I think it beat a lot of men's games, too. So I was definitely happy to hear that. And small side note, the 2 years that I went to Tulane, we beat LSU both times. So,
well, that's the kind of stuff I want to hear. Who is somebody in Division I that you were most surprised that you played against, just how great they were? Someone you played against, who is what you went, oh my gosh, this person's better than I thought she was?
I'm going to give that actually to my teammate, Leslie Vorpahl is, and then I'll second that with Brianna Stewart. So Brianna Stewart was at UConn before my last year. We were seniors together, and then we did play them and lose to them. She was amazing, of course, the whole team was. But I'm going to give it really to Leslie Vorpahl, my teammate at Tulane. She was a freshman when I was a junior, and she's a little white girl from Texas. And to say, you know, she is the coldest white girl I've seen with a basketball in her hands. She is so crafty. She's really cool. She's really poised, and she's fun, and she works hard, and she's fun to play with. And she just took a championship overseas right now in Germany. I forget, but she's playing overseas now, and she's stuck with basketball. And she's only a few feet taller than me. I'm 5 feet even, 5'1" with shoes. So that I was the shortest person, I think, to this day to play in the American Athletic Conference. And Leslie was only a little bit bigger than me. So, amazing feats to be so little playing with amongst the big ones.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. And because that's an amazing feat for you too, to play Division I basketball. This is kind of fun because it is WNBA season, and just talking about this, we have some, you know, Jesse, who played for Wisconsin back in the, she's unbelievable too. And she's from Minnesota, and she's a Hall of Famer. What's Jesse's last name again? I can't think of it.
Seem Stomsky. Jesse.
Yeah. And she's like the second leading scorer of Madison basketball history. And she's here in Minnesota working for Prairie Island as a lawyer. But it's just, it's great to see the natives out there, you know, including yourself. But I can't wait. We had all those championships here with our WNBA team, and now it looks like they're rebuilding.
Yeah. yeah, it's a, they've kind of been rebuilding for a while, but I do think, you know, when we did have the best WNBA team
for like 5 years.
Yeah, they had a good run, and they were the only Minnesota team taking home the championships, right? So they should have that TV contract, at least in Minnesota.
Exactly. Well, and they're on, Bally's. I see them once in a while on Bally's. But, well, you can't forget the Twins now, 87 and 91, but you were probably not even born then when they won those championships. But I was probably your age when they did that.
I actually haven't been to the new stadium yet. I need to still get in there.
So. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. It really is. And then you'll have to stop in a Native Roots trading post out there in center field and check it out. Hey, so, Brooke, we only got like a minute or so left, and I want you to talk about your event again.
Yeah. So on June 17th, from 1 to 4 p.m., we are having our very first Nini Janis Art Market. You can join us for an opportunity to shop and visit with various Native artists and businesses all across the Twin Cities. And we're going to be hosted at Flava Cafe. There will be drinks and snacks for purchase there. And then lastly, it's a public open event. We're also hosting a raffle from some of our vendors, a live raffle, because our boys basketball team got accepted into the Native American Basketball Invitational. So that's a week-long tournament, and it's a required college career readiness camp as well. So our raffle is to fundraise to send them down to Phoenix in July. So June 17th, Flava Cafe, 623 University Avenue West. Join us from 1 to 4 p.m.
Right on. Hey, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on and telling us a little bit about yourself. That's exciting. And keep up the great work. It's great to see young ones like yourself taking the ball and running with it. Hey, see how I threw the basketball kind of thing in there? But you can't run with it. It'd be traveling. Right. All right. But hey, Pini Gigi, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Mr. Robert, thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers. When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
How's it
going?
I don't know. I get a crack up. People that are watching this on Facebook Live or YouTube will always pull up a little wolf howling. And I don't know, some days that makes me laugh more than others, but today it made me laugh. Hey, Wendy's in New York, but she sent us a cool segment here, and I want her to jump on and play that right now. And we can, if there's time, we can discuss what she did and critique it or not. But hey, let's get Wendy Pilot on.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And as always, it is my pleasure to do that. And thank you again, Robert, for having me do a sacred animal section. I really appreciate it. As I mentioned once before, Friends of Minneapolis Animal Care and Control are looking for cat whisperers. They need kind, patient cat lovers to take on some nervous, shy cats that they have there. All of these cats, they are saying, may do best in a one-cat house, so they're not as friendly as most other cats. All of the MAC cats and animals over 6 months old currently have no adoption fees, and they want to do this so they could help get as many waiting animals out of the shelter as possible. Kittens that are under 6 months old are $100, $50 to Minneapolis residents, and walk-in adoption hours at the Minneapolis Animal Care and Control are Monday through Friday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., and they're located at 212 17th Avenue North in Minneapolis. So that's always a great thing to do. Last week or the week before, Robert and I talked about our older cats that we adopted, and we always had the best luck with them. So people who adopt older animals, I give them a lot of credit, and visit the Animal Care and Control in Minneapolis. Here's a post here from Howling for Wolves. Ban wolf hunting for good. So, due to federal protections being restored by a federal judge in February of 2022, Minnesota wolves cannot currently be hunted. Again, cannot currently be hunted. However, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources intends to hold a wolf hunt once our state's wolves lose their protection. So when the wolves were first delisted from the endangered species list in Minnesota in 2012, there was a slaughtered mass of over 700 wolves, and they were killed in 1 year by hunters and wildlife services. The Minnesota DNR has demonstrated that they cannot be trusted with the responsible stewardship of our wolves. So we're just asking, as always, for continued support and to get in touch with your lawmakers to make our Minnesota wolves safe forever. So you could head on to howlingforwolves.org/take action and tell your lawmakers to ban wolf hunting for good. And that's always really important to do. Thank you very much. It's been pretty hot out, and the summer is here, and we have lots of hot weather, so we're asking everyone to please take care of their children and their pets and make sure that all the wildlife has water out there. So hot pavement is a real bad thing, and there are a lot of dogs get injured over the summer months because of burns on their paws. So hot pavement, if the air temperature is just 77 degrees, asphalt temperatures could be 125 degrees. At 86 degrees, the asphalt temperature could be 135 degrees. And at 87 degrees, it can go up to 143. So if it's too hot for your bare feet, then it's too hot for their paws. So just make sure that you test the pavement before you get your little furry friend out there. And check it out. Another test that you could do so you don't have to take your shoes off is put the back of your hand down on the pavement or asphalt and see how hot that is on the back of your hand. I talked about this again last week, and I always want to remind people because I see still so many people walking their dogs, and the dog has to walk on the leash like a soldier. The animal has to stay really close and heel next to their owner. And anytime the dog tries to go to sniff or to check something out, the dog is yanked back and asked to walk like a soldier. And I say, let them sniff. So instead of focusing how far you have traveled with your dog in steps, begin to focus on how much your dog has sniffed on their walk. Sniffing is a calming, mentally engaging, and therapeutic activity, which many of us leave off the agenda during outings. When we allow our dog to take the world around them through their nose, this provides an opportunity for relaxation. So this really helps your pet relax and be calm and enjoy. I've been seeing a lot of red cardinals around, and I always love to see them and their mate. I just read an article about a 1 in a million yellow cardinal. It's been seen in Florida. The cardinal is one of North America's most identifiable birds, with its distinctive crest and vivid red plumage on males. However, one exceptionally unusual cardinal observed lately in Gainesville, Florida, has a radically different appearance. It's bright yellow, a 1 in a million occurrence. You could go ahead and check that out. I have a picture of this beautiful bird that really is something else to see. I really am really astonished by it. So check out a yellow cardinal. Our friend Alice has posted about red cardinals or cardinals. I'm sure the yellow ones also have the same behavior, that cardinals could be called a romantic bird species. They mate for life and stay together year round. They sing together before nesting, and their courtship behavior includes the male gathering food and feeding it to a female beak to beak. So how cute is that? Also, one last thing before I end my segment, we could help our bees and other insects during the hot weather. So they need to drink water also, but they often drown in large pans of water. So all you need to do is grab a pan or a shallow bowl and put a whole bunch of pebbles or marbles or rocks in there and fill it with some water. And the rocks and the pebbles will give the bees a nice landing spot and help avoid them from drowning. And it's best to change the water every week or so to make sure other insects don't lay eggs in there. I usually refill that water almost every day. So yeah, let's help our outdoor animals and our bees and other insects, except for mosquitoes. I don't have much love for them. I have to tell you that. Anyway, with that, back to you, Robert.
Hey, thanks, Wendy, for the update. Always great to hear. Haley, thank you very much for all.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, Contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingrass, Thompson, and Knox. GTWLawyers.com.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.